when divine truth is running low, the person of the Holy Spirit is known less. During what we call the Dark Ages, almost nobody knew anything about the person of the Holy Ghost. And when you came into the Reformation, as their minds became illuminated, they began to know more and more about the moving and the power and the person of the Holy Ghost. We have come down to a point to where millions of people are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and those people know more about him than anybody else in the world. Now, I have a library, I presume, of 1,000 or 2 books. I have been picking up books for over 50 years. And I began to look back through my library, and I discovered I had so few books on the person of the Holy Spirit. I had books on the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit works in Jesus' life and all the rest of their lives. But of his person, I had almost nothing. Almost nothing. And when he was put into a book on the Holy Spirit, he got one little chapter in there. And sometimes that was brief on the person of the Holy Spirit. And so these lessons were born because I said, now, if Jesus is going to come soon, which I believe he is, that the Holy Ghost himself is going to be much stronger in manifestation, maybe than ever before in the history of the world, including when he brought that chaotic condition into cosmos in the book of Genesis. Well, you better get acquainted with him, or he might be doing something you don't know anything about it. And so it's good to get acquainted. So that the purpose of these very special lessons on the person of the Holy Spirit is actually not to teach you a lot, really. It's to stir you up, that you won't just stop with these lessons and say, well, I got it. You don't have it either, because I'm still working on mine. We want to stir you up to where you will say, hey, there's a truth here that I'm going after. Now, if it was simple, everybody would have it. It is not simple. To how to identify the Father as a person with a nose, the Lord Jesus Christ as a person with a hand, and the Holy Ghost as a person that walks. That's what paraclete means, to walk along beside you. So to identify the persons of deity, number one, according to Jewish tradition, you don't talk about deity. Even when it comes to the name of God, they just say the man upstairs. You know, they're afraid to even pronounce his name. And so the honor for him was so great until they didn't just use his name carelessly, not at all. But what we want to do is to learn to begin to understand there's a person there. Jesus said, he will come. He will teach you. He will guide you. Well, he we must know on a personal basis. Not as an abstract situation, not as a fuzzy little cloud somewhere, but as a person, we must come to know him. And so we're hoping to stir up the whole nation, if we possibly can, saying, come on, let's get a hold of the person of the Holy Spirit. We concluded in our last lesson on page 55, right at point at 9 there. We'd like to continue there, if you don't mind. I don't know how far we will go. We hope that we can get on further into a following lesson, which would be the Holy Spirit reveals the future, which he does. He knows the future, and through us he can reveal the future. But let's continue on how he put himself upon humans, beginning in Genesis and right down until today. And he did it in a different way, in different dispensations, which is all right with us. Now, in point number 9, we were talking to you about how the Holy Spirit, point number 8, on how the Holy Spirit quickened the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we moved up into number 9 on how he dealt with the disciples of Jesus Christ. Mark 13:11 says, But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now, I could work on that for about an hour, if you had that much patience. But I have found many times in my life that when I didn't prepare my normal brain, and I wanted to say carnal brain. I hope my brain is not carnal. But when I was going to use my natural faculty, God would let me use it. But if I let it kind of lay lax, dormant, and I let the Spirit rise up within me, he often said things that I hadn't conceived before. A number of times in my life I have preached that which my mind did not understand yet, and it came pouring up out of my inner man. And that's great. That is great. And so Jesus said, now, when they drag you into the courts, don't sit down all night and shake and tremble and say, none of me say, I'm going to answer this. He said, just go to bed and sleep. And said, when you stand before those men, he said, I promise you that the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's good, isn't it? Now, that's in our dispensation, the disciples of Jesus. I mean, you can't go back and say, that's for another dispensation. We're in the same dispensation, Peter, James, and John, and Paul. For sure we are. And so if it happened then, it can happen today. That in an hour of need, in an hour of hurt, in an hour when there's confusion, the Holy Ghost can speak out of us. Now, that's a rare thing, and it couldn't be an influence doing it. It takes a person to speak intelligently in a certain problem. And so it is a great thing. Then in Luke 24:49, it says, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power that is from on high. And so Jesus is promising them that when they receive this Spirit, that it would be related to strength or power. That he would come not as a counselor or a comforter altogether, but would come with an energy beyond themselves and greater than themselves, and they would be endued with the power that from above, that it came forth from God. And so that was a promise that Jesus made to these disciples. It did come. It did come. They were forever at each other until the day of Pentecost. And they were forever with each other after the day of Pentecost. They were all running 11 different directions before Pentecost. They went one direction after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, they had at least two of them that wanted thrones. You know the only reason for a throne is to boss somebody. It's not where you eat dinner. It's not where you sleep. It's where you boss. And they wanted to be bossy. And Jesus rebuked them and said, you're supposed to shine each other's shoes. You call that bossy business. And you should be willing to shine each other's shoes. But he said here that when you receive this Holy Ghost from God, from the Father, in Jerusalem, you will receive a power, an energy, a strength that you never had before. They did. They most certainly did. We've dealt with Acts 1 and 8 in a previous lesson. Let's go down to number 10. Now, if it happened in the apostles or disciples, what happened a little after that in the early church? I would love for you, all of you students, to either study the whole of the gifts of the Spirit or at least study one of the lessons in it. I wanted to know why these people turned the world upside down if the world was nutty and you could turn it upside down easy, you know. Whether the same people couldn't turn it upside down again because the world wasn't, you know, it wasn't Madison Avenue at that time. And now we are smart, and so we're Madison Avenue people, and we know how to dress and how to live and how to, you know. And I began to study it because they had no denomination. They had no headquarters, and they had no book of discipline. And as I went through the book of Acts a number of times, I suddenly saw it. Over 50 times in the book of Acts, one of the gifts of the Spirit functioned. Gifts of the Holy Ghost in one book. Over 50 times in one book. In fact, it functioned in every chapter of the book of the Acts except when they had a long sermon. God can't do much with long sermons. When they had long sermons or had church discipline, when church discipline was in action, like in chapter 15 there, the gifts couldn't function. Are you here? Yeah, long business meetings, the Holy Ghost just goes home, goes to bed. He just says, well, just you can have it. He's not interested in it. Anyway, I discovered, and you'll enjoy it, because I took those 50 incidents of Holy Spirit, I named them, who they functioned through, how they functioned, and what they meant to the body of Christ. And it is really exciting. The Holy Ghost was roaring through that early church. All right. When they were baptized in the Spirit, the first thing they got was a new language. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the first thing they got was a new language, a power that brought a new language. Now, that language is a lot more important than the world knows about. And maybe some Christians that have the Holy Spirit don't realize it. You know, you can have a big diamond, worth $50,000, and you could play marbles with it if you were stupid enough, you know. They say that they found people playing marbles with diamonds in South Africa, little kids playing, because they didn't know what it was. Now, you can take a dynamic gift of the Holy Ghost and play with it, you know. But if you use it properly, then it is something else. And what he wishes to show us here, that when the Holy Ghost came upon these people, they received the gift of tongues, and that is your prayer language between you and God. Now, the devil knows English, but he doesn't know anything about prayer languages. So when you're speaking to God the Father through your spirit and through your prayer language, he's on the outside. He says, I wish I knew that language. God says, no, you won't ever know that language. You studied English, but you won't ever get that one. And it is, Paul says, he spoke this way more than a whole church full of people. And he was a very wise man, as we believe. And so here we had him with his hotline, right from his heart to the heart of God, roaring back and forth, his mind not joining in it, but his spirit interpreting it, walking in the spirit of God. It is more dynamic than we've ever been able to preach about, really. And that's the function of the Holy Ghost in power. In power. So in the early church, they were baptized and received their gift, which was their hot connection between their hearts and God. And then in chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That ought to make you feel good. Those are the same people that received on the day of Pentecost. A lot of them, you see. And so you can get more than one filling, and we can all stand more than one filling. And some people got filled so long ago, their bag is a little rusty. They need to get some more oil on it and get the new filling of the Holy Ghost. It says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Put a little circle on the word all. We always think of unique people and great people and wonderful people. We seldom ever think of all people. And our body of Christ is coming to a time of allness. Allness. As sure as we're standing before you right now, God is going to move on the total body and the gifts of the Spirit. And preachers might as well get used to deacons having more strength than they got to heal the sick and cast out devils, because they wanted more. And it might be a little embarrassing in certain circles, but that's all right. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, what will the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost do? It'll give you boldness. And when you see people not able to speak what they are, what they believe with boldness, they need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He comes and gives us power to speak in boldness to the world that we live in, Also, they perform wonders and miracles, you know, by the power of the same Spirit. And how beautiful it was for them. In Acts 6 and 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles by the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 2 and 4, God bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. And so here, the body of Christ, the church, was being moved in a significant way by the glorious power of the Holy Ghost. All right, number D in this section, they also prophesied. In Acts 19:6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. These are people in Acts chapter 19. This is 20 years after the day of Pentecost. And here were a bunch of people that were baptized by John the Baptist 20 years before. And Paul talked to them, and they had not even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or not, living 20 years behind the times. Just what if you were living 20 years behind the times? You'd almost be going to the toilet in an outhouse. And you'd be running around in the funniest looking kind of an automobile you could ever imagine, living 20 years behind the times. These people that way spiritually. Millions of people had the Holy Ghost all over the world, and here this bunch here in a great city like Ephesus didn't even know that there was any Holy Ghost. It's amazing how dense some people can be. They got a gift of denseness. And it's amazing how they stay stupid. You know, God's moving, they don't know anything about it. They just go back to tradition and back some hundreds of years. Well, my great-great-grandma, she did something or another, you know. And they go back to that for religion. When you have to go to the graveyard for religion, you're in bad shape. And it says, and they continued by the space of 2 years, and all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. That's what Paul did, and they also brought out all the heathenism and paganism and spiritism and burned it in the streets, $1 million worth of it in one shot. That's what you call revival. And that's what you call turning a city around by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so they prophesied by the Spirit, and then in your E, they were sealed. Now, there again, you see, you just like to preach. You know, you get to some of these things and you want to start preaching. 2 Corinthians 1 and 21 says, "Now he which established you, us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is of God, and that we are sealed by that Spirit of the Holy Ghost." And so we'd like for every one of us to know and to enjoy the knowledge of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm very conscious of that myself. We have people who says, "Are you afraid that you're a backslide?" I am not. I am as sure of going to heaven as I am standing before you right now. You say, but you may. No, I won't. I'm going to walk in Jesus to the end of my life. And I'm determined to do that. And the Bible says that nothing can keep me from doing it. There's not enough devils in hell to keep me from doing it. The only way for me to get rotten is to get rotten on the inside. There's no power on the outside that can touch me. It's the same with all of us. The only way to get rotten is to get rotten on the inside. As long as you're good on the inside, you're good on the outside. So the main thing is to keep your heart pure, keep your mind pure, and your actions will always be pure. Can you say amen? All right, now we dealt with the apostles. Let's go one step further to the apostle Paul, who ministered by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 13 and 9, then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. So here was a new convert. His name was Paul. And it says he was filled with this power of the Holy Ghost. And it goes ahead and calls this fellow a son of subtlety and of mischief and a child of the devil and an enemy of all righteousness. And he brought darkness upon the man. He went blind before the presence of this man of God. And then when the deputy of the whole place saw it, what was done, he believed and was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And he turned himself toward God. So here we find Paul actually carrying out a missionary activity by the power of the Spirit. Now, if we could get that over to all missionaries, that if they went out there under the power of the Spirit, what a different world you'd have. What a different world you would have. If you're going out there to teach the Japanese how to use chopsticks, or stop using chopsticks and start using knives and forks, well, you hadn't done too much for them. But if you teach them how to give up paganism and heathenism and demon power and to rejoice in the mighty power of the living Savior, you've turned the world around. And yet many of our missionaries go out and teach English. I mean, not by the scores, but by the hundreds. Go out and teach English. And there's a lot more to teach in the Bible than English. You better believe it. I'd rather teach him, if he's Japanese, I'd rather teach him Japanese and the power of God in the Japanese language, you see, because it's the power of God that he needs. So Paul ministered under the particular Spirit of the living God. Romans 15:19 is one of the great verses, really. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, that from Jerusalem around about into Illyricum, which was clear into Europe, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. All the way from Jerusalem in the Middle East, right straight across into Europe. He had fully preached the gospel of Christ. He says, signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, you see, if we're living in the same dispensation, we can expect the same results, that the Holy Spirit does impart power. And the church that doesn't have power is a church that hasn't asked for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Better believe it. They just haven't asked for it. They can get it. It's available to them. And in these last days, it's more available than it's ever been, because prophetically, we've come to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I'm ready for it. Praise God forever. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God." And so he says, when I preach, I don't preach witty things, clever things. I preach by the Spirit and the power of God. That's the way to do it. All right. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, "For our gospel came unto you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So the Apostle Paul is speaking to us about ministering through the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. He wanted us to know that. How can we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Maybe these are the most important things that we can say about this reception of the Holy Ghost person and the use of his power in our lives. Number one, or A, we call them A, I guess. First, without fear. in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a same mind." How do you receive the power of the Holy Ghost? Number one, without fear. You say, "Well, why in the world would you say that?" Because there are tens of thousands of folks afraid of us. Are you here? They're afraid to come to our church services. They have even accused me of putting powder on the people. Of course, they didn't go close enough to see the powder, and I sent out word that I'd like to buy some of the powder if they could get some. It'd be easier that way. I'd put powder on people if it'd make them, give them the power of the Holy Ghost. But I hadn't found any powder you can put on people and give them the Holy Ghost. But we do know one thing: if they seek God in the altar, they can receive that power. And it doesn't come from spreading powder on top of them. It comes from the inside with the Holy Ghost surging up through them and pouring out from them. When we come to the Holy Spirit, we come without fear. There are people that say, "You know, if I seek too much power of God, the devil might take advantage of me and I'd have the devil in me." It's amazing how the devil can lie to people, you know. You cannot seek God and end up with the devil's power. That is not a possibility. That is not a possibility. No person has ever, well, Jesus said it. He says, "You don't ask for bread and get a serpent. You don't ask for bread and get a stone." He says, "That's not the kind of heavenly Father you have. And you won't ask for God's power and get the devil's power. That is not possible." But that's what this fear is about here. There are people that are afraid to go deeper with God for the simple reason they think they get the wrong thing. And that is not true. It is absolutely not true. God has not given us any spirit of fear. But God has given us a spirit. It is a spirit of authority. It is a spirit of love. It is a spirit of a sound mind. You let the Holy Ghost motivate your mind, and hey, you got a double portion of brains, his and yours. Glory be to God. That's good. All right. How do you receive the power of the Spirit? By faith. In Galatians 3:5, "He therefore that ministers to you, the Spirit worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith." He's showing you that you do not receive the power of the Holy Ghost. "He therefore that ministers you in the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the words of the law? No. He does it by the breath of the Holy Ghost." You see. So signs and wonders come to us. The Bible says the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. So it isn't the letter of the word, it's the Holy Ghost making the difference. And he says that we do it by faith, or by the hearing of faith. So it comes about through faith. A seed through prayer. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So through prayer, we can receive this power of the Holy Ghost. D, through the gifts of the Spirit. "For to one is given the spirit of wisdom, to another the spirit of knowledge, to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." So all of these gifts come, and they represent the power of the Holy Ghost. When you do something through one of the mighty gifts of the Spirit, you're functioning through the person and the power of the Holy Ghost. E, through love. 1 Corinthians 13:1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so that I can remove mountains, if I do not have love, then I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I do not have love, then it profiteth me nothing." It is so essential that you be baptized in love. And one of the doors through which you enter into the power of the Holy Ghost is love. And if you try to enter into power without love, then you don't match what God is. God is power, but God is love. You see, God has power. God has power, and God is love. And so in order to get through the power of the Holy Ghost, the love channel is big and wide and deep. Swim in it. You're a great candidate for mighty power when you have God's love flowing in your hearts. All right. In Romans 8:11, he says, "If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken or enliven or energize your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth within you." So your mortal body can receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. How do you see this power of the Holy Spirit? By uniting it with every effort that you have within yourself and putting it in the channel, flowing back into God, and you will have the holy anointing of God and the person of the Holy Spirit functioning through you. You're number 13, the work of the Holy Spirit in man. The human person can be born of the Spirit of God, and that's a great thing. To be born of the Spirit of God, Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So you have something in you of him, the person of the Holy Ghost, that's born in you, and it is alive within you. In Galatians 4:26, "But as then he that was born of the flesh persecuted him that is born after the Spirit," look at those last four words there, he says, "even so now." Even the devil don't want you to be spiritual. Your body don't want you to be spiritual. Your mother-in-law may not want you to be spiritual, but whoever it is, get spiritual in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit brings sanctification. 1 Peter 1 and 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. And then he leads into holiness, Romans 1 and 4. He guides us, Romans 8 and 14. The Holy Spirit is man's source of hope, Galatians 5 and 5. "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope." He is our source of hope. Romans 8, 11, "The Holy Spirit is in the resurrection of the Spirit, and that he that raised up Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, he will raise you up." He will raise you up. And so you have a source of hope in the Holy Ghost that you will be raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit fights with us against our enemies. Isaiah 59, 19 says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and the glory of the rising of the sun to the east, when the enemy shall come in like a flood." It's the Spirit of the Lord that shall raise up a standard against it. The Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against it. We have a right for the Holy Spirit to put to flight our enemies. Call upon him. He is the director. He is the administrator of this dispensation. And we have a right to come to him to say, "Hey, I need help. I want it right now." But you have to become acquainted with him. He cannot bless ignorance. The Father couldn't bless ignorance. The Son couldn't bless ignorance. The Holy Ghost can't bless ignorance. So let's get wise to all of his works, to all of his doings, and love him.